With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I love your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Everton held Liverpool to a draw in the derby. Spurs registered their first draw in the league this season. And David Beckham's got his own statue. Hi, everybody. Petey is back.
Hello. How are you doing? You all right?
All right, Pete.
I'm all right, just got off a flight, and then I thought, I'm going to eat healthy all day, but somebody had sent us some bacon-flavoured sweets that went off in 2015, so I've just eaten those, me and both you have both
eaten
those.
I can still taste it now.
I'd feel dreadful now.
Yeah, I'd forgotten the weird, because it was bacon-flavoured popping candy, the one I had, yeah. And I'd forgotten the strange sensation of hearing it through your own head.
Yeah. And also it went off in July 2015.
Who sent you that?
I don't know. Well, someone who wanted to kill me.
No, we bought something online, which we needed for the office, and it came as a free gift with it.
It's one of those Instagram-y kind of companies.
Thanks for buying our product. Yeah, why don't we try and kill you?
Yeah. Mm.
Terrible.
Here's some sweets that taste like a horrible moth.
So welcome to the final Football Ramble.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We're out of there.
Right, gentlemen, despite the sad news of Keith Flint dying, we are going to talk about some football. Yeah. All right, little mensch for the great man, the prodigy frontman, of course. Terrible news.
I know that one.
Oh, dear. Right, Premier League. Klopp's clan are 1 point behind Man City after a draw against Everton. Mm. Is Klopp cracking up?
What a windy game. So windy. Did so anyone windy. Get a chance to see any of the football? Because the wind was just so
couldn't
bad.
See the ball.
No.
It was very windy on the weekend, it was.
It was like playing in A wind tunnel.
In this studio in about an hour once that bacon-flavoured candy.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Pete.
Oh, that's going to have repercussions, isn't it?
Playing in Chicago. Yeah.
Let's be fair. Liverpool have done an amazing job to overhaul the points deficit from last season.
Doesn't mean anything.
Well, if you've let me finish the point,
okay.
It may well do. It may not, but it may.
Right.
They've done an amazing job to overhaul that points difference from last season. They're still well in the mix. They've done a good job. But... Is it just me or does Jurgen Klopp do this every time they have a sort of slightly negative result? I mean, one minute he's talking about the wind, the next minute he's having a bit of a set to with like a 12-year-old. Then he's in the press conference afterwards, not being happy with people's questions. It's just all sorts going on.
Is it, though?
To me, it happens far too regularly when he's on the end of a negative result.
Mm. But with that in mind, is it perhaps like a sort of lighter version of what Jose Mourinho does, where he's...
I don't think he's as calculating as that. I don't think there's any way you could argue that Jurgen Klopp is as calculating as Jose Mourinho.
No, not as calculated.
He had
but
a genuine,
it's perhaps a milder version of that.
He had a genuine conversation with a little dicky ball boy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't enjoy simply because I quite like Jurgen Klopp. And when the ball boy did that thing at Spurs, I did a little wink and it was cheeky.
Yeah.
I thought, that's cheeky, that's quite funny. But the Everton ball boy just doing ironic clapping.
Yeah.
I think it's shitty behaviour from that ball boy.
I completely agree, but is
and if I was Jon Kabay, I would throw him over a hoarding.
If you're Eden Hazard, you'd have booted him. I don't think there's any way you could argue. Well, first of all, that Klopp should be getting involved in that, despite that behaviour.
With a ball boy.
But secondly, I don't think Klopp is, based on what I saw in the post-match interview and then the press conference.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, Marcus, but there's no way he's in control of that. He's letting it get to him.
Keegan.
Yeah. Not quite that. On the Keegan scale.
Keegan.
Not quite the dizzying heights of that, but getting there.
A two on the Keegan.
Mm. Yeah, I did think Keegan a little bit. I saw his reaction, I thought, oh, what was the question? Because if someone does ask a bit of a silly question, it can annoy you, fair enough. But I didn't think it was that stupid a question, really. It's very generic. And of course, it's a bit like, you probably did want to win, didn't you, Jurgen? I understand that. But his response has to be a bit more measured.
But Marcus, even if it's a terrible question.
Yeah.
You don't have to engage with it in that way. You don't have to be patronising and moody and say that. It alludes what he's alluded to before, which is that people who report on the game don't understand the game, in quotes.
I just think
that's unnecessary. You can flat bat it away. Plenty of managers in the past just said, look, we thought we did the best we could to win the game.
And that man is hewn from PR. He's a wonderful kind of communicator. He's got great relations with people and he's funny and he's erudite and he's interesting. But so when he does flip out a little bit at a report, you sort of, he's like all the other managers.
He's
isn't
human,
he?
Peter.
Mm. Managers aren't human. Sorry, Jim. That's the problem.
The whole issue that they're sort of facing at the moment, in terms of the tone that's around them, is this idea that are they starting to get a bit stressed? Are they starting to wobble because they're, bottling it a little bit? And that doesn't help that narrative, does it? From Klopp, sort of showing a bit of emotion like that. But they're only a point behind City with 9 games to go. And at the start of the year, obviously, they had that 7-point lead that people are talking about.
They were 10 points clear on the 29th of December.
10 points.
Mm. I think so, on the 29th.
As many as 10.
Yeah.
Right, but obviously, it's slightly different. But at the start of December, City had a 5-point lead over Liverpool. And then that was eroded away. And everyone was like, oh, God, Liverpool have hauled them in. And sort of talking about City as if they collapse. Yeah. And with 9 games to go, with them a point behind, there's room for that to change again, surely.
Oh, for sure. But I do think that there's... It's all linked to the same thing, right? So as Pete just said there, it doesn't help it doesn't help to solidify the idea that they're actually in this for the long haul and they're doing okay and it's just a draw and, it's away from home against a big rival, so don't worry about it. It's a good point because none of their behaviour since the game has suggested they actually think that.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the issue.
None of their fans' behaviour has suggested that the derby is in any way as big as the actual title challenge against Manchester City. The Liverpool 11 derby has taken second fiddle to, I don't know, the rivalry between Manchester United and Liverpool for the past 10 years. It just hasn't been as special.
Well, they call it the friendly derby.
Everton did celebrate at the final whistle, 0-0, which...
I thought they did okay.
One or two people in the Liverpool camp were a bit like, why are they celebrating that?
Well, they've overcome the wind.
Yeah, it's a victory for both of them against the wind.
Yeah, but it was a good point for Everton. I mean, bear in mind they've been a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, but to withstand Liverpool or contain them when Liverpool were clearly the better side, they had the chances, didn't they?
Yeah,
and they didn't take them. But Everton, one or two people suggesting they did a similar job to that of Manchester United on Liverpool's attacking trio, And that would be a concern for me if I was a Liverpool fan, seeing that, OK, if Manchester United do it at Old Trafford, well, OK. But when Everton do, I mean, Michael Keane was excellent in Everton's events. But one thing that Liverpool lack, perhaps, is a what you'd call a proper creative midfielder. They've got a lot of industry in there, and they do have a bit of creativity, don't get me wrong. And the attacking three up front are so good, but they don't have a David Silva. Or you could argue even a Riyad Mahrez.
And even when they put Lallana on, they put him on quite far forward. And when they play Shaqiri, they play him quite far forward. You know?
Yeah, they don't, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, you mentioned all these Manchester City players. Or even, well, I don't know if it's still relevant to say Mesut Ozil. You know, but I mean, I suppose he had moments against Bournemouth. But Spurs and Christian Eriksen.
Yes, you're that link man, effectively.
Yeah, perhaps that's the one thing that they maybe lack. And when they're trying to pick the lock, that's maybe where they come unstuck. But then it's all very well to say if Salah puts in one of those chances, and, you know, strikers miss chances. Yeah. You know, we've seen this.
Also, Jordan Pickford's a good goalkeeper.
Yes. You know, it's,
I think there's an element, what you're saying, Marcus, is just if one of the front three don't do it, it doesn't happen.
Mm.
And
very reliant on them.
Yeah, I think so. And Everton, all this stuff about them celebrating and getting a point or whatever, I mean, I understand that that's sometimes a cause for derision, but Everton understand that was a good point. I mean, they found it difficult on occasion this season, as you mentioned, Marcus. They've been Jekyll and Hyde, mm-hmm. probably more Hyde than people would like.
Yes.
So, of course, they're going to celebrate a point.
Denting Liverpool's title.
Yeah, true.
Defence. That's what it is.
And for all the chat about Michael Keane, I thought Van Dijk was excellent again, because Everton could have probably nicked it. But Van Dijk was fantastic as well. So it was a game for people putting in good defensive displays and keeping attacking players quiet. And sometimes that's what they're like, isn't it?
It's very true. I mean, Liverpool beat Watford 5-0, was it, at Anfield the other week? You know, so it's a derby match. Everton were very dogged. On another day, Liverpool would have won. You can spin this and turn it.
Yeah.
This
Burnley will be hammered by Liverpool next week. So it's fine.
Quite maybe. Well, with Tom Heaton.
But it might not be fine, because if they don't overhaul the points gap between Man City, they're gonna blow the best chance they've had of winning the Premier League for quite a while.
Sounds like they already have. 10 points clear, mate.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to be top of the league in March anyway?
Well,
Jim,
absolutely. That's what people keep saying, isn't it? But I think you could also spin it the other way as well, because if this is exactly the sort of game, taking away the sort of derby nature of it, pre-Virgil van Dijk, they could have lost.
Mm.
He was imperious.
Yeah. He's improved them a great deal. He's improved them a great deal. Yeah. I think they've got an amazing points tally.
I think with Klopp, it's a case of when there's a little wobble or there's a little something, they go, well, it's unravelling. Well, what's happening here? It's pressure. You're bottling it. And you ask him that many questions that many times. And then finally, when they do go slip into second, I just think he's off a cry. I just piss off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a fair question to ask.
Has he
got the mentality to deal with that? Yeah. It's the pressure's going to get harder and harder. And for whatever you think about Pep Guardiola, he's won it. So he will understand, he'll have experience to draw on, he'll know how to react, you'd think. Of course, Pep does occasionally sometimes do that mad stuff, like when he had a massive go at Nathan Redmond, for no reason.
That was excellent. Yeah,
for how brilliant he was.
No, apparently said about how he was brilliant, but he could also be a lot better.
Can you imagine, right? So Pep Guardiola sat there watching that football match, Liverpool dropping points. In one noise, Luke, we'll go around the table. What noise do you reckon Pep Guardiola made?
But when the final whistle went?
Yeah. Marcus? That's opening a can of Sprite.
Yeah.
No, I think it was...
Do you think? You've muffed that right up, Peter.
I reckon he called him. And did that. Withheld number. Is that Pep?
No. Is that giggling Guardiola?
No, actually, can I revise mine?
Yeah.
Be more of a, ooh.
Yeah.
Because he gets that giggling look, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Like he's drunk on football.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, Liverpool's fixtures include Spurs at home and Chelsea at home. Man City's Spurs at home, Manchester United away.
It's all right. The Ox is back, mate. It's fine.
Exactly. Well, Spurs have to play both of them. Mm-hmm. And Spurs drew 1-1 with Arsenal on the weekend. They finally drew a game this season, and it was against their fierce local rivals, Arsenal. Tale of two penalties at Wembley, of course. Kane's correctly given.
Yes, and it took a while.
You say that. Mm-hmm. You both say that, but I don't know if that's definitely true. And what is the only thing that is clear is that the law is ridiculous and needs to be
absolutely.
It needs to be simplified post haste.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the FA rule. states that if a player is in an offside, position is moving towards the ball with the intention of playing the ball and is fouled before playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball, the foul is penalised as it has occurred before the offside offence.
But the law, also says, Jim, an offence is committed against a player in an offside position who is already playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball. The offside offence is penalised as it had occurred before the foul challenge.
So enter Mustafi.
Exactly. Yeah. So it depends whether you think. It depends what your interpretation of Kane's behaviour is. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, really, we're getting into a situation now where we're so far away from what the offside law was designed to do, i.e. stop strikers goal hanging around the six-yard box or whatever it was at the time, to just these pieces of nuance that are so small and so open to interpretation that actually, if you look at Sam Wallace of the whatever paper he's at now, maybe the Telegraph, he raised this on Twitter on Sunday, and then... As I checked before we came in the studio, him, someone from the PGMOL and a couple of other journalists and Mark Housey, ex-Premier League rep, were all still arguing about what the correct interpretation is. So if that's the case, it needs to be simplified.
Well, I don't feel clear on it.
No.
Is anyone
here? Every year the laws get changed slightly.
Yeah.
And I always use that kind of assembly of Father Ted's car, where he's got like a little ding in it. And to try and get rid of the ding, he sort of hits the car next to the ding to kind of pop out the ding. But that makes another ding. So now he's got two dings to deal with. And now he's got, so this offside rule is kind of offside and kind of where you're in play. It's turned into this really weird thing. Bottom line is, if the ball touches your hand, it's a handball.
Whatever happens. That's the thing. So it's impossible to ask an assistant referee to make an offside call accurately based on the current... For me, it has to go back to, I can't even find the evidence it was this, but that might be because they give instructions to referees that they don't publish. Daylight. And I think you've got to get rid of the interfering with play thing. Because I think the interfering with play part of it is when it started... That was the thin end of the wedge. Mm. And that's when it started to get a little bit vague.
If you're on the pitch, you should be interfering in play.
Right.
Whether you're... Mesut Ozil pulling players around... Is he interfering with play when he's not near the ball? He's still pulling defenders around.
What did you think of the decision, Marcus, when you saw it?
Well, he wasn't given offside. So I understand all that chat and it's relevant. But in terms of the actual decision, he wasn't given offside. So we then play the game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a tiny bit soft, but I thought it was probably just about a penalty.
I think what's frustrating from an Arsenal point of view is I think Laurent Koscielny heads that away if Mustafi doesn't push Harry Kane into him. I mean, it should be irrelevant.
Yeah, whereas I thought the Arsenal penalty wasn't a penalty.
I disagree on that, because I think Sanchez has, you know, he's been very clumsy there and Aubameyang's taken out of the game from it.
To bring another layer into this, I think it was a very soft one, but I think if VAR was asked to look at that, it wouldn't have overturned it, because there was enough contact there to mean it wasn't an obvious error. Basically, we are in a situation now in football where we get so het up and caught up with all these decisions. It feels to me that it's almost all we talk about.
Well, the problem is, I think that...
And that's how VAR's got in.
Well, yeah, it's another ding, isn't it? We want to stop talking about all these things, but it just creates new ones.
But VAR can't... We know that it's open to interpretation. You'd have given it, I wouldn't have given it.
Yeah.
We should just go back to the old referee's decision's final. He gets some right, he gets some wrong. You know, hopefully he gets far more right than wrong.
Another example as well, and this backs up what you're saying, Luke, about how this needs to change. In the Man United game, Romelu Lukaku's goal. Technically, if VAR was in place, his knee is offside there, and like there's no advantage gained.
You can't expect an assistant referee to see how a toe or a kneecap is offside. It's ridiculous. But the game itself was a really interesting game. It was great to see.
Aaron Ramsey scored the opener. Well taken.
Brilliant.
Did he say as he was celebrating, "This is my effing pitch"?
If he didn't, his body language said it on behalf of everyone
else.
It's a wonderful thing to say.
I thought that was what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he's had so many brilliant moments there, and it's so good to see him get another one and sort of step up and lead. He's going to be such a miss. It was a really interesting game. I think obviously the emotion of it gets in the way when you're watching it as a supporter of either side, but really interesting performance from both teams, really. And Arsenal were very defensively very good, which I think has gone under the radar a little
Leno
bit.
Played his part.
Leno played very well, great double save in the first half. Sokratis was excellent, he kept Harry Kane very quiet in general, and obviously Mustafi was there as well. he reminds me of when an athlete that isn't a footballer plays in Soccer 8. Yeah, I mean, he's got the fitness and the desire, but just
I can't believe Spurs didn't attack more down the left.
Yeah, that was surprising to me right too.
But I agree with you about Arsenal. I thought they defended brilliantly. I thought Spurs sort of knocked on the door over and over again in the first half, couldn't find a way through, and Arsenal defended very well. They looked comfortable. Spurs weren't playing with any tempo. They look like they just got a complete... When Eriksen's not playing well, which I don't think he did...
Yeah, but Moussa Sissoko he carried him.
He was great, but there's nothing subtle about him. He can't... Talking about what you were talking about earlier with Liverpool, you could argue it's the same thing.
Well, you need Eriksen to provide it. I mean,
and they missed Wink so badly to knit it all together.
Exactly. Sissoko's provided so much thrust and desire, you know, interceptions, tackles, but also, you know, pace and going forward. And I think he was man of the match, actually. But when you don't have Winks in there or Eriksen, perhaps providing a little bit more craft, for want of a better word... Mm.
It looked like they were playing with... In the second half, Marcus, I was at the game, it looked like they were playing without a midfield.
Yes. Well, Sissoko was doing it all himself.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Danny Rose said that Pochettino gave a very inspiring half-time team talk. He said it was one of the best team talks he'd witnessed, actually, and left them ready to go to war in the second half. And he said normally Pochettino at half-time is actually quite calm and collected, whereas we've seen him... be sort of fairly passionate, and I suppose stereotypes of Argentinians, well, in general, but especially in football. I was sort of quite surprised about that, actually.
I was as well, because obviously, you know, Spurs got back into the game via a penalty, but it didn't seem like they sort of raised their game in terms of sort of energetic tempo or anything.
No, the first 20 minutes of the second half, I thought it was probably the poorest spell of theirs.
Yeah, the second half of the first half, they were knocking on the door.
They were probably just thinking about the team.
So good. I feel so inspired.
Danny Rose is probably thinking about handing a hand transfer request. He does this every season around this time, doesn't he? So.
Where did that rap come from? It was so good.
but I think Spurs have... They've done really well as well. I don't think that should be lost. If they finish in the top four again after what's all been going on, and by the way, over the last few weeks, it's no guarantee they are going to finish in the top four. They're looking over their shoulder rather than looking forward because of what's happened. But it will be a great achievement for them to finish in the top four
and
again.
And that vital penalty save from Lloris, because that just keeps them...
Exactly. Because Arsenal would have gone a point behind them. And the goal difference between them would have been almost completely eradicated in like 3 weeks. Mm. But Spurs are short of fullback. They're short in midfield because they've not replaced key players, and the fullback thing's been a case for a while. When they go through a bad patch, the fullbacks just look terrible, and so they need to strengthen in that area. But overall, I thought it was a really enjoyable game, a great game of high quality. I can't let this go unmentioned. That Leno save, the second of the two, the double save in real time. That was one of the best saves I've ever seen.
It was so fast.
Yeah. The ball was struck so well, and he saw it so late. And there's an element of luck involved because he throws his hand at it. But what came out of that was it looked amazing. Yeah. I couldn't believe he'd saved it.
Yeah, and what was brilliant for that is it just gives
a tribute to Gordon Banks, whose funeral is today.
it sort of really gives a lot of faith to your defenders as well. And it frustrates the opposition if something as good as that is palmed away. And I think as well, what was really refreshing as an Arsenal fan was to see Arsenal happily to set up almost in a quite passive way and just try and hit Spurs on the break and just be comfortable and disciplined within that. And it's really nice to see Arsenal playing in, you know, different tactics in different games in very visible ways.
And had Lacazette taken a chance there, then it could have worked. Just quickly, Torreira, was it sending off?
I think it was one of those ones where I felt it was a little bit harsh, but you know, if it's appealed, it's not going to be rescinded. So I see how it was given.
Yes.
But I think it was just a little bit of
difficult
bad
for the referee
luck.
In real time when his studs are up, but he was...
I thought it was a red card. I didn't think it was malicious. I didn't think he meant to hurt the player, but it doesn't look at the player, but it's a red card.
It's a red card, everybody.
Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You don't have to be sure. That's right for you, isn't it?
I thought they should have all been sent off. It's time for an ad break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, makes a movement, doesn't he?
Yeah,
sounds like he's yawning. Yeah,
maybe that was a Pep Guardiola noise.
Oh, we've got a little bit further to the goal of the title.
He's now a ghost. Ghost.
Pep Guardiola.
Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
It would
explain a lot, actually.
It would. Yeah. Time for emails with Pete D.
Not the beast.
You've got mail.
Bad beat.
If I hadn't just jumped off a flight, I would have definitely made a jingle for Jim's Auxiliary Sauces, which I quite enjoyed last week on the show. Mm. It's quite a nice theme.
Auxiliary Sauces.
Jim's Auxiliary Sauces.
That was in the pie chat, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of paid pie chat this week as well.
The email standard has been very high.
Through the roof.
That has been really good.
Has it been higher, or have they just been selected better?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The result is the same.
Fewer best bettors because they're scared. Vincent Simmons from Gothenburg. Hello, Vincent. As a physio, I know a lot about joints. I know a lot about joints.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Peter.
And my joints. Do you have, Vincent, a desk but with a little model of a joint?
A skeleton.
A little model of a joint. Not on the desk, like of a ball joint.
Because this is reference to if the knee joint was a ball and socket joint from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a trope I could definitely get on board with. It sounds fascinating. Unfortunately, football would probably be rubbish if we had ball and socket knees. A shallow socket, like the shoulder joints, would be too structurally unstable to handle implanted grafts.
Pop out all the time.
With studded boots. Yeah, they are quite weak, aren't they? We would also see many dislocated knees, so squads would have to be absurdly massive. Oof. Also, shooting would be less powerful, as the large thigh muscle combined with the hinged knee joint is how it's possible to generate too much power or so much power in a shot.
Well, I would argue, though, to counter that, you'd have less long ball, so actually it would improve the tiki-taka style.
It would, actually. People would be walking it into the net. It'd be lovely football. It'd be lovely football.
Lolloping along.
Could you add extra muscles, though, on the sides?
Could do.
To provide power to that
side.
I like
the idea
ball.
Of the goalkeeper not being able to kick the ball out of his own penalty area, taking us back to like under 12s football.
Yeah, he'd throw it out.
No one better get out. Yeah, yeah, it would no longer be an advantage to get a goal kick.
No, he would kick it so hard, he would kick himself in the face.
That's true, immensely. Yeah. Do you reckon they would pull their legs back like that and like ping it over their shoulder? And let go.
That's how you take a free kick.
It'd be like a pendulum.
Imagine some throw-ins, though.
Imagine
the possibilities.
I'll say what I said last week. Just imagine the step-overs.
There you are.
Yeah.
Could you do like a throw-in where you start throwing it in, but you go up, down, and then you do a kind of like a you know, if you're jumping a skipping rope.
Yeah.
You jump over your own arms. And then sort of wind up a few times.
I don't see why not.
No, because this is the shoulders, not the knees.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but same. But if your shoulders were slightly built a little bit differently, and your
a
arms
just
were long
skipping
enough,
a football
yeah,
for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, skipping a football for 5 minutes and then absolutely.
I think you need to go away. Design the body as you would like it, Peter, and then come back with your
arms.
You don't
it.
Need to see those.
There's sketches at home, 100%.
It's not sketches, and that's the problem. That's why the police got involved.
Okay,
right,
let's move on.
Zach Benny, who I believe started the whole pie thing. I was half listening. Dear Ramblers, first, thank you for reading out my email. My life is now complete. I would like to answer some of you and your listeners' queries about the events that took place that night at Stamford Bridge. Yes, Callum, I did take a long time to eat my chips.
She's the pie and chips guy.
Yeah. However, I feel that this is due to the fact that I did not have time to eat them before the game and subsequently did not want to miss a long, continuous chunk of the match by focusing on my pie and chip consumption. Focusing?
Yeah.
Well, do you really need to focus to get a bit of pie and chip?
You've never eaten in front of the telly before.
Also, it was a very generous portion. Surprising, I know. And I'd already eaten quite a lot during the day. why buy it then? Oh,
Zach, lovely detail, that.
Why buy it,
this is a saga that needs to end now.
Ben Stevenson, hello Ramblers. A few years back, when Jim's favourite footballer of all time, Carlos Tevez, was playing his trade at Man City, his wage slip got leaked on the internet. It's out there in Google Land for all the fans.
It had deductions for his bookings.
Yeah. Yes.
£10 or something.
Obscenely large numbers involved, but there was a small entry in the deductions section called FA Fine, and it was for the princely sum of £24 because he accumulated two yellow cards that month.
Right, there we go. It happens. Yeah. We thought it happened, and now we've got proof.
I'm sure Mr. Tevez really struggled to make ends meet that month.
Yeah.
thank you very much, Ben. Finally, for now, actually, back the pie one, and this is our last one. Hi, gents. In response to Jim and Marcus claiming that sauce has no place on a gravy filled pie, as is from Sam, I would like to provide a response from the home of crazy football, Australia. Not only is sauce a must, there are two acceptable methods for its application. Apply the sauce to the top of the pie and spread evenly across all surfaces of the top pastry layer. That is certainly something I would be up for.
Yeah.
This one, though, is disgusting, but I'm also kind of into it.
They're very proud of their pies in Australia.
It's a little bit...
Yeah, it's a big thing there.
50 Shades of Grey. It's so, a bit, come into my room, I'm going to do something a bit weird, but you might be into it.
Sounds like a high-risk manoeuvre.
Use the pointy-topped, squeezy sauce bottle, which is pierced through the top layer of the pastry, and then sauce injected directly into the gravy, creating a dreamy sauce gravy mix.
Jim will be gutted about that.
You having that?
That's I mean, it depends on... It obviously depends on the sauce and the pie. Personally, I'm not into it. So
I'll
the first one is to spread it all over the top, cut the top off and have it separately.
No. You just spread it over the top and you start eating.
Yeah. Right,
and
you just go
separation.
I presume that's how you would do that anyway, to be honest. If I was going to get involved with the conversation last week, that's what I would go for.
That's effectively the same thing, isn't it? You're just putting the sauce into the pie.
But jabbing, like an injection.
Yeah, I mean, point if you for style,
an intravenous sauce injection.
What would you do? You see a bloke get a syringe out, and the sauce, then into the pie.
It wouldn't be a syringe, though, would it? Because most of those kind of things have little kind of things. But
I'm more interested in the theatre of it than what it tastes like.
Massively, but it would upset people who want like vegan pies. I imagine that you'd have to have separate sauce bottles for vegan pies and meat pies, wouldn't you?
True. It's a can of worms. It's a pie.
It's a pie of worms. It's a pie of worms. Sam, thank you for your email. If you want to get in touch with the show, shortthefootballramble.com.
How about that? The West London Derby happened on the weekend. Scott Parker's first match as Fulham manager ended in a respectable loss, which is the best Fulham can hope for these days.
It's the hallmark of their season.
They're 10 points from safety with 9 matches to go. Parker spoke about planning for the long term at Fulham because he seems to be very aware of the situation. Interesting, old Scotty P. But Fulham, I mean, it was a better performance. Chelsea, obviously, far superior side. And it was Sarri's two favourites, Higuain and Jorginho. Both were lovely finishes.
Both excellent finishes. Yeah, lovely very different finishes. As well. Mm-hmm. Also, I think, that Jorginho goal is very timely, isn't it? Because obviously he is Sarri's, man on the pitch. And
teacher's
pet. Yeah, very much so. But it feels, they've had a good week, haven't they? Given the storm around them and a lot of talk that Sarri might lose his job after the cup final. In a way, his response to this has been brilliant. And I think it's bought him some time.
On Kepa coming back in to goal and playing very well.
Yeah.
Slight little error when he dropped the ball, but I mean, he got away with it.
And he made one mistake in the game.
But he made some good saves. I know what you mean. That Chelsea seems to sort of come through that. I mean, will he be there after the summer is the question. I've no doubt he'll be there for the rest of the season unless there's an absolute disaster, which I wouldn't have thought there would be. Mm. But it was, it was a good win for Chelsea, but poor old Fulham, the goal that Sessegnon scored, one of the papers today was showing his still images saying, well, actually, perhaps...
He looked marginally offside to me. Again, it's this fucking offside thing.
Get rid of them altogether. Yeah.
The fact is, these decisions can happen. Do you know what I mean? And even if Fulham had got a point, it would have been a great point as well, and they rallied a bit more. It would be a miraculous escape now. I mean, I know Roy Hodgson kept them up quite miraculously a number of years ago now, and that 3-2 away win at Manchester City with last minute goal and so
before
on.
Before the end of the month, they're playing Liverpool and Manchester City,
and that's the reason. one of many reasons.
Because on the Scott Parker situation, to me, it's got echoes of Darren Moore at West Brom. Mm-hmm. So he comes in late. Can't save them because they're essentially dead and buried, but he does very well, gets manager of the month.
Yeah, they just lost 4-0.
Yeah, they have. I'm not suggesting my point is very well timed.
No, I know what you're saying.
But he's doing a good job overall.
Well, they're in the playoffs, aren't they? They've got a chance.
If we can get amongst it and really sort of rally them, keep some of the players at least, and then next season they can mount another challenge to get back into the Premier League, exactly as Darren Moore and West Brom are doing.
Chris Hughton at Newcastle.
It's not the end of the world, is it? Chris Hughton at Newcastle is another example, yeah. But I
know what you're saying, Luke, and I think I agree with that. Yeah.
I would have enjoyed him getting a point because Sessegnon, he looks so crestfallen because he's still only 12 years old.
Yes.
It's impossible to not feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because he was very, very happy about that. He loves Fulham, of course. It's a rivalry game. He celebrated like he couldn't believe it, and then obviously it was taken from him cruelly by the laws of the game.
Yeah. I wonder if Sessegnon, come the summer, will
inject himself into a pie?
Maybe.
A sauce-ignon. It's unlikely. But
that was the joke.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Some markers at the point out to me. But I enjoyed it. Yeah. That's the main thing.
I'm just annoyed that you laughed at that point rather than earlier.
Yeah.
Did it get a cheap laugh? Yes, it did. Yeah. Yeah, chalk it up. I think there's always talk that you might go to Spurs. That seems to be the usual route for decent Fulham players. What's he going to do? Will he go back to the Championship? He's not had a great time in the Premier League because of the side.
I think he struggled to adjust quite a lot.
Yeah.
He played in the right yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he
flips around.
Exactly. Yeah. I think if, you know, we are very much assuming that Fulham will go down, of course. It does certainly look that way if they can keep certain members. I would have thought they would have had a chance of keeping quite a lot because they've not really done themselves too many favours. and the money that some of them are on, you know, would they get that elsewhere and so on? And they probably enjoy playing.
They've all got clauses, I think.
Yeah, you would expect.
All these Fulham players.
The ones they've signed recently, yes. But I mean, the Dennis Adoy's and the Tim Reams and Tom Cairns.
The thing is, with absolute fairness, and Marcus, you've watched them more than I have, but my firmly held opinion on Adoy, Ream, they're Championship players.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And the thing Fulham did is that they probably realised that and panicked and they bought too many players. And it unsettled the squad. Mm. And that's the problem, is those players have got you into the Premier League. You have to manage that very, very carefully. You have to do it right. And unless you're Watford, where their mad way of running a football club, signing this, that and the other, it seems to work. It's a very rare example. Mm. And if you get a few players, like Callum Chambers, decent signing, you know, get a few to guide, you know, maybe one or two leaders who can guide some of these players, Adoy's and so on, because they can put in the odd, you know, decent performance here and there and so on. But most of the squads, Pete, you're always going on about Newcastle squads, largely Championship players. Look at Brighton, even one or two at places like Burnley and so on. Yeah, some of them you could say Premier League, but a lot of those lower end Premier League players, you could also describe them as Championship players.
Yeah,
but
true,
if you just have a few in there.
But here's
the
point.
Likes of Burnley do.
I think that's a fair thing to say, but here's the response is, how can Fulham have spent all that money and signed all those players and end up in a game against a good team where they're fighting for their lives and their back six players are Joe Bryan, who came from Bristol City, Tim Ream, Dennis Adoy, Nortvay, who looks decent enough to be fair, Callum Chambers and Kevin McDonald. Mm-hmm. They've got no thoroughbred quality in the back six of their team against Chelsea in a game they've got to win. Well, they spent loads of money.
They did spend loads of money, yeah.
Alfie Mawson's injured, I'll give him that.
True, but I suppose
it's not exciting though, is it?
No.
Exactly. Buying defenders.
That's true, yeah.
Bore off.
But do you understand the point?
Well, of course I do. Of course I understand the point. They didn't spend the money that wisely. You know, they spent a lot of Mitrovic, there was Seri coming in as well, a few others.
Can't get the team now, Seri.
Well, exactly. But I don't know. Parker's first game in charge, obviously, he maybe some of the players he knows a bit more he's putting in there. I don't know, but they lost the
game. Play yourself, Scotty.
They lost the game. at Old Trafford, there was some enjoyable moments. Manchester United beat Southampton 3-2. Well, Solskjaer said it was like the old days. Manchester United got a late winner in an entertaining match.
It felt a bit like that, didn't it?
Yeah. Valerie scored a beauty, didn't he? And then Pereira scored a lovely one as well.
What do you think was better?
Pereira's.
Because I like Valerie's because he was at the near post as much as something from that far out can be.
De Gea would have saved that on another day.
I was going to say, I think you could say that Valerie's was better because it was against a better goalkeeper.
Mm. I mean, De Gea did get a hand to it. He just hit it hard he couldn't keep it out.
Sure, no, I'm not saying it's like a massive error, but I think, I don't know, I think Pereira's was better.
This was the, in terms
you can
of,
enjoy both of them.
In terms of the quality of the goals, it's probably one of the best games of the season.
Oh, yeah,
I can't think of a game that had so many other good goals.
Didn't it beat a Premier League record for like goals scored from outside of the box?
You should have checked that before you asked.
I was going to say.
Well, yeah. I'm just asking it. It was in my head.
You're fresh off a plane. Anything could be in your head.
Yeah. Don't just say stuff that comes into your head. Right. I know we can edit it.
A lot of editing involved with that kind of
thing. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Lukaku among the goals again.
Yeah.
He's found his scoring boots, hasn't he?
Well, yeah. He did later in the game.
But he still scored them.
Yeah, later in the game after he whiffed a couple.
Did he score two or did he not?
He whiffed a couple.
Marcus,
he should have taken the penalty.
Whiffed a couple.
They don't count if they're later in the game. You know that. It's like when you go 2-0 down, win 3-2. You shouldn't have gone 2-0 down.
Yeah. There was a point where he whiffed. He was about 2 yards from goal and he whiffed the ball and he should have whacked it.
Yeah, well, he made amends, would you agree
more
to that?
More whacking, more less whiffing.
Well, what about Paul Pogba's penalty? Did he whiff that?
Well, that's what I mean. He should have taken that. Pogba should have been giving it to Lukaku.
Yeah, but if he's the penalty taker.
I would give anything just for 10 minutes inside your mind.
Mm.
10 minutes.
Don't care. Well, in my mind, Lukaku would have taken the penalty and we might have had a different result.
I know, but
Paul Pogba.
The result would have been the same.
Yeah. They won 3-2.
Rifled it down the middle.
What happened on this plane?
It's like Lost.
Alternate reality.
But the chat around Lukaku is interesting because he gets a reputation, arguably rightly, for being a bit inconsistent in terms of his goal scoring. Yeah, he's 25 and I think he's got, what, 120 Premier League goals already?
113, I think.
Yeah, okay. So he could be a challenger to Alan Shearer's record.
Yeah,
no one talks about it. People talk about Kane. Lukaku sticks around for another 10 years, he'll break it.
It's a fair point.
He'll break it.
I can't imagine him like sort of banging him in at the same rate when he's 34, though. You know, that's going to be a challenge. But still, you're right. But the thing is, if he can find consistency, he's going to be one of the best strikers in the world, isn't he? And it's good to see him sort of stepping back up because it feels like he was the last big player, aside from Alexis Sanchez in a sort of, you know, slightly different situation, to really sort of step up and flourish under Solskjaer.
Yeah, I agree with you there, definitely. Mm. You're absolutely right.
It's a great game anyway. Very enjoyable game for the neutral.
Yeah, Southampton were unlucky not to get something out of the game, though. I mean, they were pushing for a winner at one point.
Mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're 2 points above the relegation zone, but the way they're playing, they're just beginning to pull away now, aren't they? Mm. Even though they're only 2 points, there's just some of the performances.
Well, they won the game before, didn't they? And Cardiff have lost 3 in a row now, I think. So.
Yeah.
I think going back to Man United as well, their last two games of the season are Huddersfield and then Cardiff. Mm. And that both those teams could realistically be relegated by then. Huddersfield almost certainly will be. And I mean, that could be a huge, huge advantage for Man United,
sort of in the
race for the top four. Yeah.
It's looking now that you've got four teams who want to get those last two top four places because Man City and Liverpool are away. So yeah. Spurs, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea. If Chelsea win their game in hand, they go into fourth. Mm. So it's all to play
very
for.
Very tight.
All to play for.
Very much.
Imagine if Sarri comes out of Chelsea at the end of the season with a Champions League place, gets them back in the Champions League, gets them to a cup final. I mean, it would look a bit weird, all the coverage of it.
Still in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine they win the Europa League as well.
Yeah, but we know that if you win the Europa League and finish in the top four for Chelsea, it's usually not good enough.
That's true, actually.
Rafi Benitez.
Yeah, true.
Shades of Rafi.
Very popular down there. Has it got a stand named after him yet? No.
I think just T-shirts for now.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to go to the Championship and the WhatsApp group. See you in a minute.
Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun indeed. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Thursday. How did our best better get on?
Chris B, we hardly knew ye. A bet which I thought was a reasonable shout, over 3.5 goals in the North London Derby. Sadly, did not come to pass because it ended 1-1. So we need a new better. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line, and I will pick another one on Thursday.
He will, ladies and gentlemen. He's got form for it. Let's go to the Championship. Leeds beat West Brom 4-0. Big win for Bielsa. Big win.
Pablo Hernandez scored an absolute screamer about a minute.
It was 16 seconds.
16
how
seconds.
How many? I think it was 16 seconds.
He's warmed up.
How many good goals were there?
Do your warm ups properly, and that's what happened.
Do your warm ups.
Jack Grealish as well. Beauty.
Well, we'll come on to that in a second. I mean, we've already mentioned it, but it needs another mention.
It does.
When do I want me to mention it?
Pete, for some reason that wasn't a good goal or something because it happened in like the 83rd minute or something.
I don't know, we won't mention it then.
But, well, we already have, sucker.
Joke's on you.
I think the commentator was saying while Leeds were kind of coming forward in those first few seconds, Norwich sort of knocked it forward and then they intercepted. See, oh, you know, Leeds, they need to have a good result here. They've been slightly indifferent of like, da-da-da-da, that goes in and they never look back.
Yeah, no,
And that is exactly what they needed at Elland Road, because they have had a couple of sloppy results in the context of their season. To beat West Brom, who are in the playoffs, who score a lot of goals, as we've mentioned before, was quite incredible. And Bamford scored. How much does Bamford love the Championship?
He's king of the Huckabee zone, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
And actually, if I was looking at those goals, and this is a very harsh way to sort of scrutinise someone, but massively with that in mind. And I think, because he doesn't have a huge amount of pace, I'd feel like he just wouldn't have scored those in the Premier League in this sort of comparable one-on-one situation.
Well, there was a period of time where he was out, wasn't he? Around the middle of December, he got injured, I think. And they got that was when they went out of the FA Cup and they led a couple of dodgy results. And I saw a few Leeds fans saying, look, we need Bamford back. He knits it together. He's an important player. And he showed he was. The thing is, I said, I think you pushed me a couple of weeks ago about who I thought would miss out on the top three.
Yeah.
And I said Leeds because I thought they might tire. And they were brilliant against West
Brom.
This
is the Championship fear. You see a result like that in a performance, you go,
But Sheffield United win their game in hand, they still go above.
Well, they're playing Sheffield Wednesday tonight, exactly. Of course. So it's a big one. Tyler Roberts was excellent for Leeds. Welsh international, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you see Darren Moore took down a pitch invader?
I did see this. I saw it in the write-up. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's
you
not
need
as,
to describe it to
it's
us.
Sort of not as spectacular as you think, but still, you get the job done.
Yeah.
So the pitch invader, he sort of ran on and so on. I don't know.
We're going to get beat, but let's have a fight.
No, he took him down sort of fairly gently.
Oh, I imagine he's an absolutely lovely man, Darren Moore.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. A gentle giant. Well, yeah. I say giant, he's obviously a big guy, but...
Yeah, he used to be called Bovril at Portsmouth. I told you that, didn't I? He always used to win the ball, but he used to smash it into the crowd.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. His passing wasn't the best, but he was good for us. He was decent.
Yeah.
And he was really popular. I think there's a reason. When someone's universally popular throughout football, you know, there's a reason for it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I met him once on Talk of the Terrace on ESPN.
Nice guy?
Yes. Reef were on as well. They were nice too.
Good. Reef. Yeah, still find them.
Yeah. And a skier.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Alcott was on there, wasn't he? Yeah, that's right.
Lovely.
Little trip down memory lane with Pete there, Marcus.
Yeah, memory that the whole nation can share. In.
Why are you being so horrible to me?
I'm not being so horrible.
You
were on television.
Marcus.
You're on television. Everyone tuned in. I've no doubt about it.
How rude.
Not being rude.
I agree that he has been horrible.
He's been horrible.
It shames me. I'm like Richard Hammond. I'm quite enjoying it. he's Clarkson. I'm Richard Hammond. Jim's obviously James.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it.
The Stig or a car or what?
Yeah, you're just a bad car that gets a terrible review.
I'm a caravan.
Yeah, exploded caravan.
Yeah, because Jeremy hates him.
You're Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I'm a producer that Marcus ends up punching.
Yeah. You put sauce on my food.
You injected sauce into my pie.
Yeah.
Take that out of my pie.
Yeah.
Aston Villa beat Derby 4-0. Jack Grealish back with a bang. He scored a beauty, did he not?
I don't want to talk about it.
It was an absolute... belter.
When you see a corner which has floated to the edge of the box, you often think, I maybe should have just put that in.
Yeah.
But when a goal happens like that, you know, Marcus, you think Paul Scholes. For those of you a little bit more, I suppose, continentally minded, if that's a word, Lothar Matthäus for Bayern, I think.
He
scored a lovely one in the World Cup 90 for Germany as well, low into the bottom corner from quite a way out.
No, but it wasn't crossed in from a corner.
It was not, and I've just realised that. Yeah.
But I feel like when you're playing FIFA and an opportunity like that arises, you have to hit
it. Yeah.
You have to.
Well, that's what Jack Grealish was doing.
He just lashed it as well. Not suggesting there was no control, because clearly he's very talented, but he smashed that. But Marcus, in that situation, when I'm watching a game and the ball comes over from a corner and it gets cleared, I'm thinking...
Where's Paul Scholes?
Which player is just at a camera shot? Mm. Is it the holding midfield player for the defending team, or is it a player for the attacking team? If it's a player for the attacking team, I want him to smash it first time.
Or in general, if a holding midfield, if the ball drops to him like that?
So for the defending team.
Oh, for the defending team.
Is it going to be cleared? Is it going to be looked after? Or is it going to be smashed back in?
Check Tiote. That's all I'm saying.
Quite.
Is it better than John McGinn's goal last season?
I don't think it is.
No, probably not.
Whip.
It's just they're both absolutely brilliant goals where the technique is perfect. So at this point, it's about aesthetics, isn't it? I think the bend on Gins was better.
But 4-0 up, Aston Villa were at half-time.
Half-time, yeah.
Incredible. Derby had a lot of injuries, fair enough. They've dropped down to seventh after losing three on the bounce. They're three off the playoffs. Now, they've got Lampard in his first job. There's, as far as I'm aware, it always seems like quite... A sort of fairly healthy situation at Derby. They've been a little bit unlucky, maybe not going up. They haven't been in the Premier League now for a few seasons. I just feel like it's a bit too early.
I think they're going to miss out. I do.
And I think what you said about them having younger players, Luke, how will they do with that in terms of experience, in terms of fatigue and so on? Maybe losing three on the bounce at this stage of the season. But it is the Championship, you know. They might end up winning it, for crying out loud.
I think losing at home to Millwall, as they did, affect their confidence. And I think that they're probably... Chelsea are trying to get... I think Chelsea are trying to get Frank Lampard. I do. I think Frank Lampard's going to be lined up to be the next Chelsea manager.
Not this summer.
Don't know.
Not this, surely.
Don't know.
He needs to earn his stripes a bit.
He was offered it before. He was offered it. And he said he didn't want it because he didn't feel ready for it. Yeah. He was literally offered the job. I know that for a fact. And so I wouldn't be hugely surprised. Obviously, it depends on a lot of factors. Yeah. But if he delivers them a good return this season, so they come sixth or whatever, and they get knocked out in the playoffs, even seventh.
Chelsea want a slice of that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Chelsea will get a slice of that this season.
But I don't think within reason anything Frank Lampard does at Derby is going to affect how well highly he's thought at Chelsea.
So you think it's one of those situations where, you know, like with Barcelona managers, it doesn't matter what certain individuals do with their career. I mean, Frank Rijkaard's career is an absolute mystery.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
He won the Champions League at Barcelona.
He really got them going again and paved the way largely in terms of style and whatnot for Guardiola, who then came in and got rid of the party animals, you know. Yeah. So with Lampard, it's kind of like if you're a Chelsea man, you're a Chelsea man. Like Solskjaer, Manchester United. Yeah, yeah. There's a good example.
Yeah, I do
there.
Believe that. I'm not saying I do a brilliant job, but I think that that's what they want to do.
The only problem is Barcelona certainly have more tradition about playing style and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't think Frank Lampard will go to Barcelona.
Do you not?
No, I'll take your point. But then
Paolo Wanchope can join Derby.
Think of it from this point of view. Chelsea have been through every top manager. Who else are they going to hire?
That's true.
You know?
Give Roman a go.
Brendy Rodgers.
Brendy, exactly. Yeah. He's on the stepping stone at Leicester at the moment.
Yeah.
Don't at us.
2-1 defeat at Watford, though. That's not how you get the Chelsea job.
Unlucky, though, weren't they?
They were unlucky. Let's go to the WhatsApp group.
Oh, WhatsApp group, where's the
button? You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Good to have you here, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us in this WhatsApp group chat. Now, according to reports, Premier League club scouts are using £150 glasses that are fitted with recording devices to record footage of their opponents' matches. A source revealed he was found in a pie. said some Premier League teams needed more recorded clips of certain game situations than they could get from normal means. So apparently the scouts go and sit in the stands to record whichever parts of the opponents they want to focus on.
Ooh.
Pete Donaldson, do you own a pair of these glasses? Are you recording us right now?
I reckon they're just those Snapchat glasses that went down incredibly badly. And so they've just got a job lot of them. They're trying to get rid of them.
Could someone please go back and rewatch the Marcelo Bielsa explainer/apology to see if he was wearing those glasses when he delivered the apology?
It's a Google glass, isn't it?
Yeah. Because and the one thing you can't miss out on this story is that, as I said at the time, the Daily Mail called them James Bond style glasses.
Yes, they did. Obviously.
Everything remotely linked to technology, according to the Daily Mail, has something to do with James Bond.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's the sort of England they fantasize about, isn't it?
It's true. Yeah. But the picture that accompanied that article was Beals wearing his glasses.
Obviously.
Like smiling.
Yeah, I saw that.
To say, hey, am I wearing them? Am I not?
Well, because Google.
Can I see through your clothes?
Google Glass gave us the impression that this would be normal by now, didn't it? And then it just sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, apparently it's out there.
Hermann Burgos was the only guy who actually wore them.
It's true. I think this... I don't think you should report on that, because now poor people with glasses in like the home end or something, people
suspicious.
Are like, hey, you're recording us.
But also, Google Glass isn't a recording device.
No, but this is not Google
Glass.
This
is record, though.
Can you?
Sure,
I know it's not. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
it's not anything with a front-facing camera.
I didn't think it had got a camera. I thought it just gave you a little thing with information in the lens.
Look, I am... Clearly, the master of espionage.
Are you wearing them now?
Oh, well, you've just been in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Apparently. You know.
That's what I've been getting job lots.
You're handing them
back. That's what I'm saying. Is cook-up guy.
Be a little bit suspicious. Don't act, though. We don't want any vigilantes out there. But if you see a person wearing glasses and there's a little red light in there somewhere,
hit them.
Yeah. Get in their way. Get in their way.
The Daily Mail posted a diagram of a pair of glasses.
They did. Think,
and it includes the following. Don't look at it. I'm going to read it to you.
I want to look at it.
USB port.
How are you going to charge your lithium-ion battery?
True. A video/stills camera with a record and stop button. On
a VHS recorder.
Boring description.
A red light for a recording indicator, as well as durable and flexible frame and dark lenses.
Okay.
There you go. Mm. So
they've just copied and pasted that from some manufacturers.
They've got it from Pinterest. Okay. I've seen it on there. Yeah.
I'm going to just tape a GoPro to one of my eyes.
Yeah, do that.
Pretend it's I'm the Terminator.
Like the world's shittest Terminator.
Yeah. There we are. All right then. Interesting stuff there. David Beckham has had a statue of him unveiled at LA Galaxy Stadium.
Mm. Have you seen the congratulations video? Oh, yeah. Sent? So it's Brooklyn Beckham being very adorable. And then it's his other three children being very adorable. And then it's Snoop Dogg.
Is it really?
A really old combination.
They're friends.
Yeah.
It's a very good statue, by the way.
It is a good statue.
Of Matt Ritchie.
The kit is
of Matt Ritchie. Yeah, it looks a bit like Matt Ritchie, yeah.
Yeah, the kit is a different colour from the rest of the statue, which I like. Yeah.
We've been doing the show for a long time. We have covered a lot of football statues. Mm. And I would say this is toward the better end.
Statues are hard. They are, if we've learnt nothing else from doing this podcast, statues just seem to be really difficult to make.
It looks a bit like Jimmy Hill.
Let's have a look.
Do you reckon? Yeah. The furrowed brow kind of I think condenses into his eyebrows a little bit.
I know what you mean. At first glance, you think, oh, is that a bit...
But face is too long.
It's in there. He's in there, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's
not actually literally in there, is he? I mean, someone's to get him out.
Well, I don't know. Could be some sort of Trojan horse situation. Yeah. They turn the lights off and out comes David.
I think he's welcome at the stadium anyway.
That
he doesn't need to go to
the got a statue.
Yeah, but he doesn't get his jollies that way, Jim.
wearing a pair of odd glasses, his statue.
Is he worthy of a statue? I mean, they obviously think he is. Yeah, but I mean, bearing in mind, for the first couple of seasons of his career, he just walked around a pitch there thinking,
Landon Donovan is going to, you know.
I mean, yes, exactly.
He's going to be furious.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, that is going to be like Jebediah Springfielded very soon.
I think with Beckham, it's the idea that he raised the profile of the league and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Zlatan's going to kick its head off.
He won two MLS Cups, two Supporter Shields. Some decent.
What's a supporter lot of stuff. Shield?
Peter, do your research.
No,
hang on, I'll just click and find out. it's the award given to the team in Major League Soccer with the best regular season record. So it's almost like the league title.
Okay.
Yeah, so he had two decent seasons. Where's Selez's statue at Newcastle? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. I'm putting my headphones off.
No, I'm saying he should have a statue.
He should have one.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, he should have one.
Yeah.
What time zone are you on at the moment?
Or do you disagree, Peter? You think the Selez shouldn't be on it?
Right. It should be on a plinth above the stadium.
It should be
a helicopter with him in it, and it should be on a big stick.
It should be like a
stand.
Totem pole, and all the faces of the 94-95.
Oh my god!
Season like that, just kind of up.
Selez on top.
With Selez on top. Well, Alan would probably take top, and then Selez.
Alan.
Yeah. Where's Peggy? You gotta give his 90. He would not be a structural component of this. Of this Newcastle United.
Very obvious reason.
Let's make that very clear.
The total ball fall over onto Kevin Keegan.
Can we put a Photoshop challenge to our listeners for the first time ever? I just want to see
that. Okay, so we want a Newcastle United 94-95 totem pole.
But that's before Shearer, though. That was before Shearer signed.
All right, well, 4-5. Let's go.
I'm saying just to help people out.
Okay, fine.
Get Darren Peacock in there. Don't forget about Darren. Beckham's team, Inter Miami FC, will of course be in MLS, I believe, next year.
Into Miami.
So will they regret putting
Maybe you'll get two.
Will they regret putting a statue of him? Beckham's team go there, they win the cup, he's on the pitch, knee sliding.
Yeah.
It's like the Fiorentina fans were pissed off that Batistuta, he has a statue outside Fiorentina's ground, and that's understandable. He's probably the best player in the history of their club, you would certainly argue. And then no sooner did that happen, he went to Roma and won the league with them.
Yeah.
So
Henri's statue's kneeling, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's knee sliding.
Because I remember, I think I wrote in the Ramble book that I once walked past it and somebody had put Henry the Hoover. Like just you know, you see Henry the Hoover's around town sometimes.
I've got
that
Henry
been
the
discarded.
Hoover.
They've just been broken. Someone left one outright next to the Thierry Henry statue. It just looked like he was chasing a Hoover bag. Really weird.
Henry the Hoover.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
He's also co-owner of Inter Miami is, of course, Simon Fuller.
You would think as well, if they ever do erect a statue of David, it will be David himself making that decision. So keep an eye on that.
Imagine if they open it with him just saying, yeah, I've got a statue here.
Mm.
That'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant.
It would be.
It's a great statement of intent.
This is how much
of a legend I'm going to be in Miami.
Self-indulgent, but yeah.
They're going to have to repaint that, though. I look at that and I sort of go, that's upkeep.
It's true, because he's got the shirt on it and everything.
The Herbalife.
Yeah, exactly.
It does look good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having Pete Donaldson back and you listening to this nonsense. Back on Thursday for the preview show. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Goodbye.
Bye from me.
was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.